Two scripture readings. First of all, in Leviticus chapter 18, the first few verses of Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived, nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan where I am bringing you. You shall not walk in their statutes. You are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes, to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God. So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man lives if he does them. I am the Lord." And then Galatians chapter 3. And I'll just read verses 10 through 14. Galatians chapter 3, verses 10 through 14. Here the Apostle Paul, as he does often, quotes other texts of Scripture, and among them is the text that we just read from Leviticus. And you'll recognize it when we come to it. Galatians chapter 3, beginning at verse 10. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. But the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his good work on behalf of us. You've loved us in him, and you've certainly been better to us than we deserve. We bow before you and give you our thanks for your goodness, grace, and love. As we look into this piece of your word, Father, we pray that you'd be pleased to bless and strengthen us, open our hearts, give us clarity of thought, help us to understand and apply this your word in our lives as we live before you. Do this, we ask, in the good and gracious name of Jesus Christ, who is the only Lord and Savior. Amen. The old teaching process is very simple. Tell them what you're going to tell them. Tell them. Tell them what you told them. And so I'm going to try and follow that process this morning. First of all, here's a summary of what we're going to talk about this morning. We all start out at ground zero, under the curse of sin. And the default position you and I hold under the curse of sin is simple. We try and please God by our own effort. We have to learn a lesson. We have to learn a lesson that God does not even suggest to us that we can please Him by our own effort. No. We are right with God through faith in Jesus Christ and through faith alone in Jesus Christ. This is the heart of the gospel. And when you and I believe in Jesus Christ, we become sons of God, children of the Most High. And we have the Spirit of the living God living in our hearts. We have the blessings that were a long time ago promised to Abraham. And so the bottom line, it seems, is this. Rather than trying to please God with our own effort, turn to and trust Jesus Christ, live for Him, and when you stumble and fall, seek His forgiveness. The Christian life is very simple in this regard. Seek to live for Jesus Christ. Trust Him, and when you stumble and fall, ask for His forgiveness. That's it. It's a wonderful thing. And so we begin then in verse 10, after this little summary. Verse 10 takes us right to the matter of the curse. For as many as are under the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them. The text here is quite simple. The text here tells us that we are under a curse. And we begin under a curse because Adam, the first man, was the first individual to live by the works of the law. You remember, do you not, the story? How God said to Adam, "Of any tree in the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree that is in the midst of the garden you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat from it, you shall surely die." And Adam disobeyed God. And the penalty was death. And Adam, of course, then was removed from the garden. And since Adam was your representative and my representative, you sinned in Adam and fell with him. He was to live by the works of the law, but he failed. He was on probation while he was to live by the works of the law. And again, he failed. But here's an important aspect of what happened. When he failed, the probation was over. There was no repentance. The penalty was simply death. That was it. Adam, you're done. And since the probation was over, there is no promise extended to you and me of life on the basis of obedience. Friends, do not be deceived. There is no promise of life extended to you on the basis of obedience. You see, the default position of the sinner, once again, is this. That the sinner assumes that God has given his law, and the sinner assumes in arrogance that he or she can please God by keeping the stipulations of the law. But it's far worse than the fact that you cannot possibly, by your own strength, keep the stipulations of the law. It's far worse than that because there is not even an offer of life extended to you on the basis of obedience. The probation that Adam experienced is over. And when the text says, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse," in part what it means is that individuals like us often, in arrogance, I say again, will place ourselves under the law and say to God, "I'll keep it," and therefore earn a place in your heaven. You know that this is stock and trade in the world. Ask anyone. The evangelism explosion question. What will you say to God when he asks you, "Why should I let you into my heaven?" Answer, "Well, I haven't been so bad." The stock answer. And so our problem is we are under a double curse, as it were. Look at verse 10 again. "For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them.'" When the people of Israel were to enter the promised land, they were to stand between two mountains. And at the foot of one mountain, the Levites would pronounce blessings. And at the foot of the other mountain, the Levites would remind them of the curses. And in Deuteronomy 27, we read at the very end of that chapter, "Cursed is everyone who does not abide in all things written in the book of the law to perform them." A reminder that violations of the commandments of God is sin. But also a reminder that the law not only had moral stipulations, but the law also had ceremonial stipulations. And when the Israelite failed to keep the moral stipulations of the law, he or she was required to offer sacrifice first in the tabernacle and then in the temple and ask forgiveness for his or her sins, looking to the promised Savior, looking to the Savior who was to come. And if you did not look to the Savior who was to come, you remained under the curse of death. This is what Paul is saying in Galatians 3:10. But then, in verse 11, he reminds those to whom he's writing, and he reminds you and me now that no one is justified before God, by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Paul reminds us of this wonderful truth that the law was never intended to be a way of finding right standing before God by way of obedience. It was never intended to be utilized in that way. Look at verse 21 in Galatians 3. The latter part of verse 21 says, "For if the law had been given, which was to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. But it was never intended to be that way." The default position is always, "Well, I'll please God by what I do." And Paul reminds us, no, 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 that no one is justified by before the law by God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. And here Paul quotes another Old Testament text, "The just shall live by faith." Paul quotes that text at the beginning of Romans, doesn't he? Where he says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For in it resides the power of God for by faith, from faith to faith, the just shall live by faith." The power of the gospel. And what Paul is saying, quoting from the Old Testament, is that right standing with God comes by believing in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that this is the case. That you have right standing before God when you trust in Jesus Christ, who died on that cross to pay the penalty due to you for your sins. And then we come to verse 12. Here's how the New American Standard Version reads. I didn't actually read the New American Standard Version when I read the scripture. I altered it slightly. Here's how the New American Standard Version reads. "However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them." It sounds as though what Paul is saying at the end of verse 12, quoting the Old Testament, it sounds like Paul is saying that if you keep the commandments, you'll attain heavenly life. That's what it sounds like, because of the way the translation is given to us. But as I say, Paul already indicates to you and to me that God never intended the law and obedience to the law to be a way of achieving eternal life. I'd like you to go back to Leviticus 18 and look at it with me. Turn back in your Bibles to that text.
Let me read it to you again. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God." Those words should remind you of the preface to the Ten Commandments. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And then the commandments proceed. You shall have no other gods before me. The Ten Commandments were given to a redeemed people. The Ten Commandments were given to you as a redeemed people to show you how you are best able to display your love for God and your love for others. And so when you follow the Ten Commandments, you are simply working out the precept of love. Love for God and love for your neighbor. Look at Leviticus 18 again. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, I am the Lord your God. You shall not do what is done in the land of Egypt where you lived. Don't live like the Egyptians, the land from which I redeemed you. Nor are you to do what is done in the land of Canaan, where I am bringing you. Don't live like the Canaanites when you go into the land of Canaan. No, you are to perform my judgments and keep my statutes to live in accord with them. I am the Lord your God." You see, God is simply saying to the children of Israel, this is how you should live. You should live in accordance with my commandments, my statutes, and my judgments. And then verse 5, "So you shall keep my statutes and my judgments, by which a man lives if he does them." If he does them. Listen, folks. This is not a promise of eternal life given to a redeemed people. This is a statement of how you are to live. There's a redundancy here. A saying of the same thing in a couple of different ways. If you live by the commandments, what happens? You wind up keeping the commandments. This is what God is saying. If you sincerely desire to live by God's law, what will you do? You will keep God's law. This is what God is saying to the people of Israel as they are at Mount Sinai a year from their being delivered from Egypt. Go back now to Galatians chapter 3. And let me point out a couple of things to you with regard to verse 12. The verse does not actually begin with "but" or "however." It should actually be better translated "and." In other words, the Apostle Paul is simply going on with his argument. The righteous man shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith. What does Paul mean by the little preposition "of faith"? It's very striking because in the original language, it's the same preposition
that we find at the end of verse 11. The righteous man shall live by faith. And you could read the beginning of verse 12, and the law is not by faith. It's the same prepositional phrase. What is faith? The confession tells you what faith is. Faith is the alone instrument of justification. That's the language of the confession of faith. In other words, faith is the means that connects us with God and brings us into relationship with God. And so what is verse 12 telling us? And the law is not a way of justification. That's really the meaning of the beginning of verse 12. The law is not a way of justification. However, here's where the strong but comes. However, he who practices them shall live by them. The law is actually a rule of life for the believer. It is not a way of justification. It is a rule of life for the believer. And so you could put verses 11 and 12 together this way. Now that no one is justified by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith or of faith. And the law is not a means of justification, but the law is a rule of life for the believer. This is what Paul is teaching you. The law was never intended. I say again, to be a rule which obeyed would issue in eternal life. It was never intended to be that way. And so now what does Paul go on to say? Paul goes back to the idea of the curse. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Yes, we all begin with this idea of the curse. We are under the condemnation of God because of the sin of Adam and because of our own sins. And then we try to crawl out of that depth of sin by our own strength. No, that's not the way. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. How good that is. Christ brought us out from under the curse of death by becoming a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Paul is again here quoting from Deuteronomy. And if you go back to Deuteronomy 21:23, you'll notice that in most versions, this little sentence is put in parentheses. It's kind of an aside. It's just a statement that's sort of stuck in to remind us of the fact that when someone is put on a tree or hung up, hanged as it were, on public display, that's an evidence of the fact that they have been cursed of God. You may remember some of the Old Testament stories in this regard. That when the people of Israel went into a city and destroyed the people of the city, they would take the king and his body would be hanged on the city gate in public display of the fact that he and the city were cursed of God, and this was the reason for their destruction.
In a similar way, Jesus Christ was hanged on a tree to publicly display the fact that the curse of God was descending upon him in his death. And this is one of the reasons why darkness fell at Golgotha. An impenetrable darkness fell. A darkness that could be felt because Jesus Christ was taking God's curse upon himself. Our text again, verse 13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Several years ago, I was invited to the North Side to preach at a Good Friday service. And the Good Friday service involved several of us preachers talking about the words of Christ uttered from the cross. My assignment was to speak on the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And I said to the people there, and I say to you this morning, Jesus Christ uttered those words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? So that you and I would never have to utter those words ourselves. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And then we come to verse 14. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. That's us, isn't it? That's you and me. That the blessing of Abraham might come to us. And what is the blessing of Abraham? To be a friend with God. To be a child of God. To be a part of God's blessed family. And as Paul says at the end of verse 14, to be a recipient of God's Holy Spirit. And what is the Spirit? A down payment on eternity. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Jesus, Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we would receive the Spirit by faith. so that we, dear friends, would be Spirit-filled children of the great God of heaven. And so, rather than relying on yourself and your own strength, trust Jesus Christ. Follow Him. And when you sin, turn to Him and ask for forgiveness. See, that's the bottom line, isn't it? And that's the lesson. So here's the summary again. We all start under the curse of God because of Adam's sin and because of our own sin. And your pension and my pension is to seek to work our way out of the problem of sin by our own strength and arrogantly think that we can please God by our own obedience. You and I need to learn the lesson, and sometimes we have to learn it the hard way. You and I need to learn the lesson that it's not by works, but it's by faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And when you trust Christ, you become His child. And you have the gift of the Spirit, a down payment on eternity. So rather than trusting yourself, trust Jesus Christ and follow Him. And when you stumble and fall, go back to Him and ask for His forgiveness.